The gospel lesson this morning comes from the third chapter of the book of John. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." And Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished then that I say to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it will, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. And so it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. For indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God. In the order of worship this morning, there is a picture of one of Michelangelo's most famous sculptures, the deposition of Christ coming down from the cross. Michelangelo intended the deposition as a monument for his own tomb. So then it is a beautiful and tender depiction of the scene just following Christ's crucifixion. Jesus' mother, Mary, and Mary Magdalene are there on Jesus' right and left, and Nicodemus, whom we just read about, is also there at the center of the sculpture, helping to take Jesus' body down, just as the book of John tells us. But there is something interesting about this representation of Nicodemus. By all accounts from the time, he looks just like Michelangelo looked. And more than just a few scholars have speculated that the great artist was in fact sending something of a hidden message through self-depiction, subtly identifying himself as a Nicodemite, the name given for secret Protestant sympathizers within the Roman Catholic Church. Nicodemites were said to be secret followers of Protestant ways, just as Nicodemus was himself a secret follower of the way of Jesus. Nicodemus was a secret follower of Jesus. And that is why he came to Jesus at night. Nick at night. I can never resist. Nicodemus comes at night. And to understand why, you have to know what happened just prior to this scene in the book of John. In the book of John, Jesus cleanses the temple at the very beginning of the story in chapter 2. In the other gospels, that takes place at the very end of Jesus' ministry. And that is one reason, in fact, why we say we aren't supposed to read everything in the Bible literally, as if it was handed down to us with every iota of detail written in stone. In the other gospel stories, Jesus shuts down the religious industrial complex in the last week of his life. It's what gets him killed at the very end. But in the book of John, the temple cleansing takes place at the very beginning of the book. And it's an early scene that gives meaning to all of the other scenes. Rabbi, Nicodemus says, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these kinds of things apart from God. And then begins a somewhat bizarre conversation, which I just read, between Jesus and Nicodemus, with strange Bible talk about snakes and wind and the need to be born again. Most of my Sunday school teachers ignored the snake and wind parts and just talked about the being born again part. That and the 16th verse of the chapter, which is pretty important. For God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. All the rest was mystery to our teachers and also to me. But it turns out, it's all pretty important also. Nicodemus is a man with a conflicted conscience. He knows that Jesus is from God and that the things that Jesus is doing are from God. But as a leader of the Jews and a member of the Pharisees, those who made their money and got their livelihoods off of all of those things Jesus condemned in the temple court, Nicodemus was torn. Follow Jesus, and Nicodemus risks losing everything, his livelihood and even his life, but deny Jesus and he risks losing his own soul. So suddenly then the mysterious metaphors take on a new kind of meaning. A snake that tempts with fears which must be faced. A wind blowing in new directions which must be followed. A birth giving life to a whole new way of living which must be brought to bear. But the birth doesn't come easy. Not for Nicodemus. His decision is a hard one, and it's not one he's ready to make right now. Not tonight, anyhow. There will be other scenes with Nicodemus throughout the book of John. Later in the story, when his fellow Pharisees try to trap Jesus, Nicodemus dares to speak up, but only faintly. And he is immediately silenced, and he remains silent for the remainder of Jesus' days. But then at the end of the gospel, after Jesus' crucifixion, Nicodemus appears again, coming to assist the two Marys and another man named Joseph of Arimathea with Jesus' body, thus marking himself as a secret disciple of Jesus, now made known. There are Nicodemites in every age, and a lot of Nicodemus in a lot of us. It was hard for Nicodemus to come out into the light, abandon the old exploitative religion that he had been a part of, and embrace the radical message of Jesus, which said that God did not send God's Son into the world to condemn the world. That statement was an outright assault on the whole temple apparatus. And Nicodemus knew that it was right. It was right to tell the people that God was for them. But the birth pains of this new and radically different religion were long, and they were hard. It was hard also for Michelangelo and so many of those other so-called Nicodemites to state openly their belief that we are justified not by our obedience to the laws and the customs of the church, but by faith in God who says you are free and makes us free indeed. That is the heart of the Protestant principle. The promise that God's gospel comes to us in Christ with grace and with mercy and without the need of mediation from for-profit priests selling our sanctification. But it was hard. And it took a whole lot of guts to say these kinds of things out loud. Because the snake didn't want to let go of its old skin. Finally, it's hard for a lot of us Protestant Baptists too. We were taught that the Bible is our ultimate authority on all matters of faith and practice. And yet I dare to say this morning that it is not. I once heard Father Richard Rohr say, "We Baptists did with the Bible what they Catholics did with the Pope. Made the fallible into the infallible." But the Bible itself is not infallible. And neither is the Baptist interpretation of the Bible. For we can't shut God up in a book, nor can we lock God into the Baptist faith and message. Jesus was right. "The wind blows where it will," he said to Nicodemus. "And we don't know where it comes from, and we don't get to decide where it is that it is going." And we all of us, many of us, know these things down deep in our hearts. But there are many of us Nicodemites still struggling to come out of the night and to admit it all during the day. And on the day that Jesus died, old Nicodemus came down and out like a snake out of its hole into the broad daylight to take down the body and to tell the whole world that he had decided to be born again. Let me say one more thing. I know when preachers say, "Let me say one more thing," we usually say three more things. Trinitarian of us. But it is Communion Sunday, so let me say just one more thing. Let me speak very pastorally to just a few of you. I know that there are people listening online to this service, or maybe even here today in person, who know themselves to be Nicodemites. You believe things you say only in the night, and no longer believe things you feel you must say during the day. What I want you to know this morning is that there are others that are just like you. And I receive many emails from them. And they reach out to me because they are coming out from fundamentalism, and out from homophobia, and out from hiding who they really are, or what they think, or how they love, or where they go to church, or where they even work at church. And Nicodemus used the plural when he said unto Jesus, "We know that you are from God." Which means that he was speaking not only for himself, but for a whole lot of others also. So let me say unto you this morning, pastorally, if you are one of them, let me be of encouragement to you, because it can be hard to live half in and half out. And it can bring some of us even to a point of a kind of despair. But don't lose heart. And do not despair. Don't give up on the labor. And don't condemn yourself because you aren't or can't already live fully in the light. The process of being born is long. And the process of being born again can be even longer. But remember today what Jesus said to Nicodemus, when Nicodemus told him he knew that he was from God. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born again. And I take that to mean that what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus is that Jesus knows Nicodemus is already being born again, and that he wouldn't be there, not even at night, if something inside of himself wasn't already getting ready to be birthed into the light. So then, dear Nicodemites, you wouldn't be here today if you weren't already being birthed anew. So take to heart what Jesus says later in the book of John about the long, hard process of giving birth and the reward that comes after. And when a woman is in labor, she is in pain because her hour has come. But when the child is born, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy of having brought her baby into the world. And so may it be with all of us Nicodemites who are still being born again and again and again. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all, and together then all of God's people say,